Hey everybody, and welcome to another Turn It Up interview. And as always, we are so appreciative of the artists that take out their valuable time to speak with us here on the show. Now the person, excuse me, I'm going to speak to now, well, he's someone very special. And if you're from Ireland, and if you love blues and rock, this name actually means the same. This man has a voice that just would move mountains and melt hearts. I am talking about the one, the only, the incredible Rob Strong. How are you, Rob?
Jesus, Jerry, that's the best intro I've ever had on all my whole career.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I mean every word of it because...
Well, that's great, Jerry. Listen to it. I've been hearing a lot of reports about your radio show, and that is good because, you know, we need some good... radio stations that play that are going to be playing, looking after the Irish people here in the minute, because it doesn't seem to be they don't seem to be playing a lot of homegrown stuff, you know. So fair play to you, and I wish you all the very best.
Well, Rob, as you know, music's my passion, and there's nothing I love more than doing this, and certainly it's such an honour for me to speak to you tonight, because you are, but you're royalty in this world. There's nobody better than Rob Strong at singing a blues rock song. There is nobody, and that's a fact.
Well, that's a great compliment. Thank you very much. And you know, I suppose no matter what you do, if you're a carpenter or a bricklayer or anything, as long as you put your heart and soul, and I mean, I was very passionate about music, and I still am, Jerry, this very day. You know, I'm in my 70s now, in my mid-70s, and I still love it so much. And I mean, if I didn't have it tomorrow, you know, if I had a choice, do you love music first, or you love your wife? I have to put my wife second now.
I hope she's not listening.
No, she won't. No, I won't tell her who I was on with it. If you want to know now, you know, who am I talking to, you know, and what you saying now, you know. Anyway.
So tell me, Rob, such a career that you've had and so many wonderful things you've done, but tell me something. How did Rob Strong start? When did you pick up the bug? When did you pick up that bass guitar and sing those sweet tones? When did that happen?
Well, Jerry, it's a long enough story. I mean, I come from Derry. I come from a big family, and I'm the eldest. And you know, these were rough times. Now, back in the mid-60s, I mean, I was born and reared in Springtown Camp, which was an old army base camp that was used in the Second World War. So I grew up there in the young days, you know, and you know, they were hard times. So. But anyway, I'll tell you what, to cut a long story short, I mean, it's as short as I can tell you this, Jerry. I used to go over to my granny's over on the water side, and I used to go every Saturday to do her shopping and get her coal and all that there. She was living her own and all that there. So anyway, and I spied this old broken down guitar in the corner, and I said to my granny, who owns that guitar? She said, can I take it, you know? So I took this old guitar anyway, and I brought it home, and there was a family in Springtown Camp called the McGinley family, who were a big traditional family. They were into traditional music and all that there, and there was a fella called Patsy McGinley, a great friend of mine. He played guitar, so he restrung it for me, you know, and that's how I started actually playing music. That was the mid-60s and all. I mean, I was working during the day. I was working on the milk. I used to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to deliver the milk and all that there. But this man, Patsy McGinley from Springtown Camp, where we were reared, he taught me how to play a wee bit of guitar and get started, you know. So anyway, as it occurred, I met another fella from Derry, Jimmy Hopperty, who was a trombone player, and he was playing with the Paddy McCafferty Keeley Band in Donegal, from Ballybuffet, actually. So he said to me, what are you doing? Do you play? Which I said, I can play a wee bit, all right. So he took me under his wing, you know, and here I was up in Ballybuffet playing with the country, with a Keeley band, playing Keeley music. With the lineup was with saxophone, accordion, all out there, and playing dance music in them days. And that's how I got into music, Jerry, you know. And then after that there, I got a job then with Brian Call and the Polka Dots. So, and I went to see them one night in the Corinthian Ballroom in Derry, and I went up them afterwards. I was chatting and all that there, and this, I got all great with this fellow Brian Call, and may God rest him, he died there about a couple of months back there. So anyway, he said to me, "Well, what do you do? Are you?" I said, "I'm going to play guitar, a bit of guitar, you know." And there's no great shakes now, Jerry. So, and he said, "We're looking for a bass player." So I said, "Well, Jesus!" And I was thinking to myself, "Well, I could play a bit of bass, all right." So I had no bass guitar, no hobby, and they brought me up to Oma, and I gigged with the band. And anyway, I got the job anyway playing bass. So cut along and all, cut the short, this story shorter. Anyway, the Plattermen were from the same town, Oma. So, and then Speedy Hammond, he was a kind of big soul singer in the band, he left. So the Plattermen, actually Brian left Polka Dots and joined the Plattermen. So then they were looking for a bass player in the Plattermen. And so Brian Call got me into the Plattermen. So that was the day, and then I was doing all the Blood, Sweat, and Tears stuff, and doing all, and I was actually singing Mustang Sally in 1967, like when it came out. And so that's what I'm cutting.
No, you cutting take your time, take your time. I'm loving to hear this. You take your time.
A bit fine. So, and I was at the Vladimir for a while anyway. So then Brian decided to leave the band because he wanted to be have a country band, because he was a great country singer. He was into Buck Owens, and he would know his country music. So he started up his own country band, as you probably know, Brian Call and the Buckaroos.
Yeah.
So that was it. So when he left the band, then I was singing all this Blood, Sweat, Tears stuff this time in Chicago, American stuff, and of course I was brought up to the front line then, you see. So this is the day where we all went casual. I have that long hair and big sideburns and all that there. And so I was singing, that time we were doing all the Blood, Sweat, Tears, Chicago music, and, you know, and Santana and all that stuff, you know. So that's how I kind of progressed then. I was the Plattermen for such a long time then. And obviously, you know, the band broke up and all that there. So then I kind of went out in the own as the Rob Strong Band. I'd play a few bands up to this present, you know what I mean, Jerry?
Yes. But whenever you start, when you were out with the Plattermen, Rob, and you're saying you're doing Blood, Sweat, and Tears and Santana and all that, to be honest, you were kind of unique, because yes, there were show bands and all that, and indeed later years maybe you had the likes of Joe Dolan, Gina Dale Hayes and the Champions and Paddy Cole Superstars and all of that, but they were doing the mainstream stuff, but you were doing the juicy stuff. You were doing the real good stuff.
I suppose, Jerry, in all them days, you know what I mean, you were playing all the ballrooms, and there was so many, you know yourself, there's so many ballrooms all over the country, it was unbelievable. Like, and you see, when Brian left the band, and you see, the band took a Melton Mills dive, you know, when he left it, because he was so popular, like. And I mean, and the band was, I was kind of doing the Blood, Sweat, Tears, and we had an odd wee song here and there, you know. And then when he left, I came in at the front, I was out the front singing, like the main singer in the band then. And then we got kind of Simon Scott, a fella to come in and sing pop songs. But we couldn't go into the country now, you know. We weren't doing the old time waltzes and the quick steps and all that there, you know, and the jives and all that there. With all that American music, you couldn't really dance to some of it, Jerry, you know what I mean? I remember us playing the ballroom in Birmingham, the ballroom moved over there in the early 70s, and the second song, Get Them Boys Off the Stage, you know what I mean? Couldn't dance to this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we were playing all this in the main cities, Cork and all that there. We'd go into Cork, and we'd be down there for 4 or 5 gigs. We'd play County Cork, do Dublin, we'd do all the cities and all that there. So that's how the band really took off. We were a completely different band from all the show bands. There was nobody doing the kind of music we were doing. You know, everybody was playing it safe, you know, playing it, as I said before, playing the dance stuff and the quick steps, the slow foxtrots, and there's a lot of areas too as well, you know, these old-time waltzes. We weren't doing that because we looked like we were long-haired and sideburns and everything, and, you know, we weren't wearing suits anymore. We were casual, you know what I mean? So
Well, you see, you weren't, you couldn't really call you a show band. You were more of a real vibrant live band. It was a gig. It was a performance. The other was a kind of, yes, you're right, it was the two steps or the quick step. But yours was, it was much more for the rock fans or the people that wanted to go to a gig. And the truth of it is, like, I'm of an age where it was, the ballrooms was the only place you could go to. Maybe there was bands like the Memories or Horsebiz did the ballroom circuit as well.
Of course.
But it wasn't, there was nothing much else at that time. So, and it did, there were probably a few years before the ballroom thing died. And there was a time when your kind of music was, there was crowds coming in to the ballrooms, and even in the more rural areas when there was people like myself up there listening to that and wanted to hear it. So it did change.
It kind of opened a lot of places. A lot of the ballrooms like really closed up. You know, there were a few of them kind of kept going on, but the majority of the ballrooms all closed up, and then it was like, people didn't want to be going to cold ballrooms and all, you know what I mean?
Cause no.
In them days, you know, I mean, you play some of these ballrooms, Jerry, and you'd be on the stage at 9 o'clock, and there'd be nobody in it, like, and it'd be freezing.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be coming in there by 11 o'clock. So you're actually playing from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, it's a long time to be standing on the stage, you know, in the cold ballrooms. But then, and then the people wanted places like, the first place I can remember was the Tullamore Harriers in Tullamore, which was a kind of a big football GAA club. And they had a lovely big lounge on the side, or lovely comfortable seats and all there. You could walk up to the bar. It was warm. You know what I mean? Where everybody would sit down, it was nice and cozy, and you'd still get about maybe 800 people in it. That's, so I think people were looking for the comfort now. They didn't want to go into cold ballrooms, you know, where you could get a mineral and a cup of tea or something like that. You know, they were freezing in the ballrooms, you know. So that all changed that too as well. You know what I mean? There were big, Dublin had all these big kind of cabaret spots where you used to bring all the show bands, and then you had the cities, the Cork City, you had the Stardust in Cork City, and that was like a big ballroom, but there's all, wasn't like the old days, the cold ballrooms, you know what I mean? Like,
no.
So, yeah, that was it. It just, people were wanting, you know, more comfort, like, you know, you could still dance out in the hall, but the days of the big hall and the ballrooms with the 2000, all them days, them crowds were all gone now, you know. The biggest of the TV club in Dublin would be a prime spot, as you know. On Monday night, the spotlight night out, that would be, it'd be playing by maybe 1400 people there. But it was, when you were inside, it was warm and comfortable. You could go up and get a beer and a drink. You know what I mean? It's not like in the barns. You just, you know, had a mineral and a cup of tea and ham sandwich or something. And that was it. Like, but you know, that's what
it wasn't. Like. It wasn't very rock and roll. Let's put it like that. And, but funny, I remember reading about you. There was a magazine. Oh, it's not out now. It's a lot. I'm going to show my age now. Go back to Spotlight magazine. And they used to do features on yourself on the Platinum, and I think I remember one week that what they did, you know, there some magazines would give stuff away or something, and that this kind of a little like a hat, a paper hat, I can see it yet with certainty, it was a Platinum hat that was this particular week, but the charts used to be in it, Rob, and you'd read the chart, who was number one, the top 20, they did the English chart as well, and it wasn't like now where you had internet and you had 50 channels, you only had, you know, maybe two or three channels, and I remember getting Spotlight magazine on a Thursday evening, and you'd read it from cover to cover to see what was happening in the music scene. That's my memories of it anyway.
But yeah. Well, I suppose the Spotlight was the main magazine, right? That, you know, it was a good magazine. You had to be seen in it, like, you know what I mean. It was important to be in it, but it, you know, it was expensive. Like, I mean, half page was expensive, and the front page and all is very, very expensive. You know, doesn't matter how popular a band you were, you still had to pay for the front your ads, not on that paper. You know what I mean? But I suppose times have changed now. You know what I mean? Jerry, you know what I mean? The showman days were a great era, you know, and I had some great times, and I played with some great musicians, and, you know, and it was a great era, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you come and you meet all these show bands and the night bite there down on the canal coming into Dublin there. 4 o'clock in the morning, stopping there to get a greasy egg sandwich, you know, a cup of tea before you head home to Oma, you know what I mean?
I do.
And then, good old times.
It was. And then, Rob, you know, coming into the round the times, we'll say, when the commitment came out and stuff like that, I presume that the likes of that coming out, and then you have a family connection there because your son Andrew had a starring role in it too, and indeed he possesses his daddy's fine voice as well. Did that help the general awareness of the rhythm and blues scene in Ireland? Do you think it was? I'm sure it helped.
Well, I suppose, you know, I mean, Andrew was young. He was always into music in his school bands, and he'd done a bit of singing here and there, and you know. And they were looking for somebody to do that. They couldn't get anybody to do that part. They couldn't get to, you know, I mean, I would have been ideal for it, but I was too old for it, you know what I mean, at that time.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Andrew was, and Andrew was, he was working with me all the time, you see, and I used to have him doing roadie. I had him doing sound and all that there, and I used to bring him up the odd time to sing an odd song, and I'd be saying to myself, geez, this boy, it's going down fairly well here, you know what I mean?
Like, yes.
So why don't we, and the keeper, and then, as we were auditioning for the commitments, I knew quite a lot of all the people that were involved. I met Parker and all that there. And anyway, at that time, they couldn't get anybody young like Andrew to sing that soul stuff. Do you know what I mean? So I tell you what I done. This is what I done. And I put him through two songs. That was Mustang Sally and Take Me to the River. And I remember it this very day. I was down in the garage, and I put the garage in the house, and I put it through them, and I said, I'd be roaring and shouting, don't be doing that. I want you to sing this way. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I put them through it anyway, and that was, you see, they couldn't get anybody to fill that spot. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they went through so many people, Jerry, you know. So I sent them in anyway. To cut a long story short, anyway, he got the part.
Yes.
And he was barely 17, He was still at school. He was still at school. So we got that part out of me, like, you know. But anyway, he was getting something like, I don't know, he was getting something like 250 quid a week or something like that there. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? An awful lot of money for a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he was, I mean, there were all the young people on that film, they were hard work. Now, Andrew, I had to keep an eye on him all the time. Sure, but, you know, they'd be all down in Leeson Street drinking all that, all hours in the morning. And, you know what I mean? Like, 17, 18 years of age. But I shouldn't put an end to that anyway. But that's where he got the part anyway. So, and he was away in a hat, you know, and he got it all too quick, you know, it was too quick for him, but he's lucky I had me. He was in the business, and even my wife now, she is, you know what the women are like at the end of the day, Jerry, you know, they're the grinders, you know, but, you know, he survived it anyway, like, and he done quite well, and, you know, through the business and all that there, you know, So that's the way it happened.
So
there, you know,
the commitment's, like, I suppose, you know, when you do anything, it doesn't matter what it is, you don't really have any idea of how big a hit it'll be around, but Jesus, was it a hit and a half, like, so it did extremely well.
Jerry, I'm going to tell you a wee funny story now. So this, I remember, you see, Andrew was to go to LA to do a gig for Boots, and he couldn't do it. No, he was to do a gig for the Children's Hospital in New York, and it's run by a Dublin man here, and he gets all the Irish people. He had Phil Coulter and all these people, and they all did do it for the Children's Hospital in Dublin, Crumlin. And Andrew couldn't do it, so he was down in LA. You know, he was down in LA, and he was doing it. Who was singing with him on stage? Wilson Pickett. Like,
oh, wow.
And he came up and he said, Daddy, he came up, you know what he said to me, Daddy? He said to him, you do all right for a white boy. You know what I mean? But anyway, he had to do that show. So they asked me to go over to Dublin to to sing a couple of songs, you know, with the commitments, you know what I mean? The wrestling there, you know.
Yeah.
So they looked after me, they flew me with first class, and you know, they gave me a couple of grand. I said, no problem, show you. So anyway, I was getting off the plane in New York, Jerry. Who's waiting there? Sky News.
What?
Sky News are interviewing us coming off the plane. So interviewing me, they think it's, and they're talking to me, blah, 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 and I copped it down. And after I copped it on, these people think I'm Andrew Lake. So I just played along anyway. Anyway, I went and done the charity gig anyway, and that, so I met people like Liam Leeson, Phil Coulter, they all came up. And we're looking forward to seeing Andrew Danton. But that's a funny story anyway, I think, anyway. So, and I ended up, I done the show for him, you know, so.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, he left it in good hands, because I tell you, nobody would be disappointed with your delivery of the songs, let me tell you.
But I was a bit reluctant to do it, you know, they were kind of like, I don't know what, they thought I was Andrew Strong in the airport, you know, and I said, geez, I'll just play along here, you know, and say nothing, you know what I mean?
Oh, listen, you were 100% right.
Sure.
Can I ask you another question? Did you and Andrew ever do a duet or duet together? Did you ever do that?
I got up and sing a few songs. Maybe if I do Mustang Sally, I do the first verse, you do the second verse. I've done a few things with that, you know, and stuff like that there, you know. Just duets with some of the songs, the soul songs, Jerry, you know.
Yeah.
Songs. Treat it right. I've done a few things with them. So, you know.
But I think, you know, it would be a great project for the two of you to do an album together. I think it would.
I don't want them with them in the midnight hour. I think if you look at it, if you Google it on YouTube, it's Andrew Strong at the Cork Opera House.
Yes.
It's on YouTube. I've actually, that's a few years now. So he had done his own show down there, you know.
Yeah.
And I done the midnight hour with him. Anyway, you know, he's had a great career. He's been out in Denmark there for the past 4 or 5 days, Jerry, you know.
Yes.
You know. So they had to go get a COVID test in Dublin, then get another COVID test at Copenhagen, then they were, I don't know where else he was going, and down right, and they had to get another COVID test, the whole band, like. So they were out there on me, and of course he was playing to like 2,000 or 3,000 shows a night, 2,000 people,
yes.
You know, and they're all COVID tested, you know what I mean? You know. But they're well organized over in that side of the world, Jerry, you know.
Well, that says, you know what, Rob, it kind of gives me optimism too, that, you know, that we will get back to normal too, because if it's happening anywhere, it should be able to happen everywhere. And and as you know, I wear a different hat too. I'm involved with the festival I'm on, and we're hoping, you know, we're still watching government guidelines and controls, but we're very optimistic that the festival will run. And people, Rob, people are starving for some live music again.
Of course.
They really are. And you know, the artists like yourself are too, just to get out on stage there, perform, get the adrenaline pumping again, and connect with an audience. You know.
Of course, Jerry. Yeah.
And tell me something. Currently at the minute, Rob, have you any plans to record any new material? Have you stuff done, or what's in the pipeline for Rob?
Well, I haven't done any new stuff. As I said, I done an album over in Denmark, because I used to go to Denmark quite a bit now, and I go over for the weekend with some Danish musicians. So, a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, I made an album out there with a producer fellow over there, Peter Bremer, great producer, and I made an album with him, and I spent a good bit of money on it, and I think it's really, really well produced and all on it. You know, he produced it for me. So when you finish your interview with me here, just send me on your address, and I'll send you a couple of copies of it.
This lovely. Is what I have. I'm looking
to date now, you know.
Looking forward, you know, to that. And I suppose when we are talking about songs, Rob, and whether it's from that one or whatever it is, normally the format of the interview is we play a song before the interview starts, and then we play three more, two during the interview and one at the end. So I'd love you to pick four choices of what you'd like us to play on the show on the interview with Ivor.
Okay. Oh, I'm easy to call, you know, I leave it the choice yourself, Jerry. You're the man, it's your show. You can listen to Elvin and play whatever one you like. No, I'm not precious about any track or anything, you know.
Well, you know, I promise you I'll do my very best to represent you.
But look at Mr. Jesus, you're long enough listening to music now, you can pick
To be honest, Rob, any song you put your voice to is superb. So I have no problem there. I can pick whatever I want because anything you have is gold, as the people will hear when they listen to it. You're an incredible artist. And for me, speaking with you, and you're such a humble man, a man that's done so much and achieved so much in his life and have so much talent. You're a lovely human being to talk to, and I'm honoured. I'm the person that's honoured to have spoken to you.
I'm just an average bloke, and like yourself, Jerry, and that's it. Down the earth, and that's it. No big deal, and that's it. You get what you see, and that's it. Well, I must send you on an album of Niamh now. Niamh does a show. She does a tribute to Eva Cassidy, so I'll send you on some of her stuff. And as you can maybe get a wee spin, so when you get a minute, do I?
And to do with the Strong family in any shape or form, it's going to get lots of airplay and lots of time. And maybe sometime, maybe if you whisper a word in Andrew's ear, he might come on the show as well and have a chat to us, because I'd love to have a chat with him too.
I'll have a chat with him and ask him to do, should we do your show, sir? Then I'll get back on to you, Jerry.
Listen, all I can say is it has been an absolute honour for me to speak to you tonight.
Well, it's great for me to speak to you, Jerry, because, you know, you've got a great knowledge of music, and, you know, it's rare enough now, you know, at times, you know, when you're talking to somebody that knows music, you know what I mean, and so that's what's badly lacking in the country, you know, so fair play to you in a way.
Oh, listen, I say on behalf of myself and Colm here on the Torn It Up show, on behalf of the people here at Radio Home of Rock, and they are a passionate bunch of people, they love their music. This is a great little station, I love it. And brilliant. We are honoured to have you on the show, and we will be catching up. Don't hang up, I'll have another wee chat, but to the listeners now, listen, I hope you've enjoyed this interview. I've been certainly enjoyed doing it. You're going to hear some incredible music from Rob Strong during the interview. You've already heard it at this stage. And looking forward to catching up with you again in the very near future. And thanks again for doing the Torn Up interview, Rob.
My pleasure, Jerry. My pleasure. Thank you.